Good morning, everyone. Happy Sunday. Welcome to our weekly gathering. As Dove has just posted in the room, our topic today is presence through contemplating death. So it's wonderful to see you all here. We're going to start our Sunday morning gathering in the way that we always start our Sunday morning gathering, by enjoying greeting one another. We're all such good friends, heart friends, really family. And so it's wonderful just to have this opportunity to say hey to one another. So I'm going to play the song that I traditionally play during this period of time. It is called Awakening, which fits well for Awakening Together. And it's by Deva Premal and Mitten.
To the calling of the mystic, awakening in the flowering of the heart, everybody. Melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love. Everybody here, standing in wonder, beneath the rain and the thunder, rising in love.
Wonderful. It's wonderful again to have that opportunity just to kind of be in community together, and you know, from all over the world, not only all over the United States, but from all over the world. It's great fun. So welcome everyone to our Awakening Together weekly gathering. Now I'm going to share a statement of purpose. And typically what the minister does during this period of time is either share directly from our purpose or pick one of our five core values to share about. But today I want to do something just a little bit different. I want to share with you about our forms of worship, which I don't even know if all of you are aware of these being on our website. The next time you're on the Awakening Together website, if you go to About Us, and then click on Forms of Worship under the About Us menu, you'll find the forms of worship that are listed there. I'm going to read the opening paragraph from that webpage to you. Awakening Together is a universal assembly of peers dedicated to recognizing and embracing universal wisdom regardless of the form in which it appears. We believe that all religions, all scripture, and all spiritual masters ultimately point to one truth. For there can only be one absolute truth, not many. And since we are all inherently a part of the truth as living beings, we can each realize truth as a direct intuition, regardless of our religion, culture, or spiritual tendencies. Therefore, our forms of worship come from all of the great spiritual traditions, and the exact form of worship may vary from one individual member to the next. Our basic forms of worship are, and now I'm going to read the basic forms of worship to you. On the website, you'll find a little paragraph that describes each one. I'm not going to go into the paragraphs now, but if you want to go and look at that on the website later, you can. So our basic forms of worship include prayer, contemplation, teaching or sharing, meditation, silent mantra, surrender, self-inquiry, practicing forgiveness, focusing on the I Am presence, musical worship, satsang, deep accepting and allowing, observing or noticing, and journaling. And I'm sure all of you heard some of the practices that you engage in as I went through the list. But again, there's more information on the webpage if you want to go and read. One that jumped out at me, musical worship. Musical worship has become more important to me in the last 2 years. That didn't used to be a part of my worship life. But now I find that musical worship is very important. I listen to songs for a minimum of an hour a day, sometimes much more. I have nearly 14 hours of songs, all of which are devotional songs, which keep my mind on purpose. And a part of what I do to keep my mind on purpose and keep myself focused on purpose is listen to that music. So just one of these many forms of worship that I personally engage in. And now I'm going to move to the announcements portion of our weekly gathering. I do have a lot of announcements today. I'm going to go through them rather quickly so that we don't spend the whole time on announcements. but I'll tell you where you can get more information on each of them. The first one is very important. I wish I had a little bell to ring. I do, but it's way across the room. I have a bell over there that I got in Israel right next to my picture of Dove on the other side of the room, so I won't run and get it. Yeah, Kathy's dinging the bell. Ding, ding, ding. We are not going to have a weekly gathering next Sunday. And the reason for that is so many of our ministers are going to be at the CMC conference in New York that we really don't have a minister available to lead our weekly gathering. And I used to be one of Jehovah's Witnesses. And, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses have these national and district conferences. And I remember that whenever there was a national conference or a district conference, the weekly meeting, the Sunday morning meeting would be canceled so that people could attend the conference. So I guess we're kind of following that example. But so there's going to be so many people at the CMC conference that we're going to not have a weekly gathering. Now, maybe between now and next Sunday, I can find someone that would be happy to play a recording from one of our previous gatherings. We have nearly 2 years of gatherings archived, and it might be a lot of fun to listen to an old one, those of you who are available. So please feel free to still show up, and we'll see if we can get somebody to show up and play a recording. In fact, if any one of you want to volunteer to play a recording, you know, just email me and let me know, because anybody can do that. So hopefully we'll have a recording during this time. But there will not be a live gathering. Also, next Sunday is our weekly, our monthly satsang. The third Sunday of each month at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, we have a satsang. That is still going to happen. So please show up next Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time for our satsang. I will send out information this week with the name of the person that's going to be interviewed. Nikki Dobson will do the interview, and the person that she is interviewing is a disciple of Amma. Some of you guys know Amma, the hugging saint, and lives with Amma at her ashram in India. Right this second, I can't remember his name. You know, it's an Indian name. But I will send that information out this week. So please show up next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, for our monthly Awakening Together satsang. Also, many of you have heard of our class, True Discernment. It's an 11-week class, and everyone who has ever taken that class just feels that their clarity has become enhanced through that class. And we only offer it about twice a year. We're going to offer it starting this coming Saturday, April 18th. If you want to register for True Discernment, I don't have it on our website because I always need to save space in that class for people who are signing up for the MPP program. But we do have extra space. So if you're interested in being in the True Discernment class, you can email me at regina.awakeningtogether@gmail.com. And I will also send out an update. You'll find it in tomorrow morning's Awakening Together updates, a message that if you want to take the True Discernment class, email me, as well as more information about the class. So if you're kind of curious about this but not sure, be sure to look at your Monday morning Awakening Together update. If you don't get the updates, you can always just go to our website tomorrow morning, and we have a little quick links up on the right-hand side of the screen when you're on a homepage, and you can click on the news link in the quick link section, and you'll find the announcement there. Another class that we have coming up that we are currently registering for is Understanding Purification. This is another class. Every single person who's taken it has loved it. And in fact, a lot of people who have taken it want to take it again because they've gotten so much out of it, and they feel like if they took it again, they would just go deeper and they would get more out of it. It uses a textbook, which many of you have probably heard of. In fact, our reading today is going to come from it. It's The Untethered Soul by Michael Singer. Now, you can register for Understanding Purification on our website underneath the Classes menu. Registration closes April 20th. Your homework will begin on either April 22nd or 23rd, depending on whether you register for the Tuesday evening or the Wednesday morning class. And classes will begin on either April 28th, if you register for the Tuesday evening class, or April 29th if you register for the Wednesday morning class. And again, you'll find all of that information about Understanding Purification on our website under the Classes menu. Also, I just want to mention that I will be in New Jersey for a three-day gathering, two weekends from this weekend. I'll actually be near Philadelphia, April 24th, 25th, 26th. If you're in the area or you want to travel to the area, please come. You can just come without signing up. You can pay right at the door. Or if you want to sign up, you can sign up on our website underneath events. And in fact, go and look underneath our website at events, and you will find everything that's going on there. We don't have time to talk about it every week. But you will find that in addition to the New Jersey gathering, you're going to find that I'm going to be in Ireland in August and September. So especially if you're in Europe or if you want to go to Europe, you might be interested in that Ireland gathering. You're also going to find out about the Awakening Together Fall Retreat, which is our big event of the year. We actually have three retreats this year. You may have heard they're going to be right in a row so that you can attend one, two, or all three retreats. The first retreat is going to be with Jan Frazier. The second one will be with me. And the third one will be with Bentinho Massaro. They are in Colorado Springs in late October and early November. So check out our website and you can learn a lot more about that as well. Another announcement that I want to make that's completely new for all of you. So another ding, 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 ding. Another ringing of the bell. I think you probably know that we applied for official church status on December 10th of 2014. I was just notified this week that our review has begun. All of this time, we've just kind of been in a queue, waiting for our application to hit the top of the queue so that our review could begin. But now our review has begun. The first phase of the review is a review of the documentation that we sent in. We sent in a 3-ring binder full of documentation. They may also be looking at our website. It's also possible that somebody could pop into the room and check us out there without us knowing it. But this is the first review, is just kind of a documentation review. I'm told this part of the review will last up to 90 days. I suppose it could also be over much sooner than that. And then we go into the next phase of the review, and I'm not for sure what that is, although I've heard through the grapevine it might be having a social worker assigned to us to work with us more directly. But I don't know that for sure. But anyway, I wanted to let you know that our church status review has begun. Also, you all know that we are raising money for a retreat center right here in Pueblo, Colorado, that we can all go to whenever we feel called to go somewhere. And I just wanted to let you know that we are having a fundraiser, and we have currently raised over $16,000 towards that. If you'd like to learn more about that fundraiser, you can go to Awakening Together, click on the Donate menu, and then underneath Donate menu, click on the link for the Retreat Center. You'll get a lot of information about the Retreat Center. You can read information about the vision, about the guidance to have a retreat center. You can watch how much we're raising there. You can also look at properties that are currently available in Pueblo, Colorado, that would be properties we would consider if we had all of the money right now. I update that about once a week. So if you like to watch properties, go there about once a week and look and see what's new. And then the last thing that I want to announce this morning is really has a little more to do with the Regina Dawn Acres website. But some of you may remember, I don't remember if it was 2 years ago or 3 years ago, but I used to have a website with every single audio that was ever recorded in this room when I was teaching, beginning in May of 2005. And a hacker came and wiped that whole website out. You may remember that. And so I started a new website, and it has the newer audios, but all of those old audios were lost. Well, I have been doing a recovery effort lately, and I've started another website. It's an archive website, and I'm bringing back a lot of those old audios. The Holy Spirit Guides series, which some of you may remember, that went over all of the messages that were on the old Regina Dawn Acres website. Those audios have been brought back. I've also brought back the original teachings of the teachings of Inner Ramana. If you want to get to this archive website, the easiest way to do it is just to go to reginadonacres.com, and then you'll see a menu at reginadonacres.com that says Classics. And underneath Classics, you'll find a link for Holy Spirit Guides, and you'll find a link for the original Inner Ramanas. Just click on either of those, and that will take you to the archive website. And I'm going to try to continue improving this website by adding titles to some of the teachings that don't have titles, maybe eventually adding the messages that were read. If anybody wants to help out, let me know. The way that you would help out would be listening to an audio and then letting me know what was in it so I could add a description and add the documents that were read, the messages that were read. So let me know if you want to help out. In fact, on the archive website, you will find a volunteer link if you want to help out just by listening to audios and letting me know what you heard. All right, that's it for our announcements. Like I said, there were a lot of announcements. I went through them pretty quickly, but you can find more information on our website if you just go there and go clicking around. And now what I want to do is slow things down a bit. Yeah, whew, that was like a fast ride on a horse. So I want to slow down to a walk. a very beautiful, early morning, quiet, still walk. Imagine someplace really beautiful, really still. You know, I'm going to probably, in my imagination, go walking through Monument Valley on my horse. I was there recently, and I just found it to be an extremely still, quiet, spiritual place. So that's where I'm going to go walking on my horse. And that, of course, is Indian territory. In fact, that's a Navajo Nation park. So I'm going to play a Native American song. Now, this isn't Navajo. It's Cherokee. And actually, it's not really a Native American song. It's an English song, but it's going to be sung in Cherokee. This is Amazing Grace by the Cherokee National Children's Choir. So everyone, enjoy this song. Time for our morning invocation. I will start with silence and then move into prayer whenever the prayer comes. Please join me. This is a prayer of the heart, a prayer meant to bring attention to the heart. So often our attention floats up to the mind, into those thoughts that rattle around in the mind, keeping us focused outwardly into the future, and into memories of the past. But the heart is anchored in presence. So this is a prayer of the heart, calling us from distraction to presence, to here and now, alertness, attentiveness, awareness, presence. Amen. And now it's time for us to move into our reading. Gloria Wells is going to be our reader this morning. She is going to be reading to us from chapter 17 of The Untethered Soul, which is titled Contemplating Death. And for those of you who want to go back and look at this later, her reading is going to start on page 159 with the second paragraph. So, Gloria, the mic is yours.
Good morning, and thank you, Regina. I'm delighted to be your reader this morning, and I'll go ahead and start here. Death is a great teacher, but who lives with that level of awareness? It doesn't matter what age you are. At any time, you could take a breath, and there may never be another. It happens all the time to babies, teenagers, to people in midlife, not just to the aged. One breath and they're gone. No one knows when their time will be. That's not how it works. So why not be bold enough to regularly reflect on how you would live the last week? If you were to ask this question of people who truly are awakened, they wouldn't have any problems answering you. Not a thing would change inside of them. Not a thought would cross their minds. If death were to come in an hour, if death were to come in a week, or if death were to come in a year, they would live exactly the same way they are living now. There is not a single thing they carry inside of their hearts that they would rather be doing. In other words, they are living their lives fully and are not making compromises or playing games with themselves. You have to be willing to look at what it would be like if death were staring you in the face. Then you have to come to peace within yourself so that it doesn't make any difference whether it is or not. There is a story of a great yogi who said that every moment of his life he felt as though a sword were suspended over his head by a spider web. He lived his life with the awareness that he was that close to death. You are that close to death. Every time you get in the car, every time you walk across the street, and every time you eat something, it could be the last thing you do. Do you realize that what you're doing at any moment is something that someone was doing when they died? He died eating dinner. He died in a car accident 2 miles from his home. She died in a plane wreck on a trip to New York. He went to bed and never woke up. You must not be afraid to discuss death. Don't get uptight about it. Instead, let this knowledge help you live every moment of your life fully, because every moment matters. That's what happens when somebody knows they only have a week left. You can be certain that they would tell you that was the most important week they ever had was the last week. Everything is a million times more meaningful in that final week. What if you were to live every week that way? At this point, you should ask yourself why you aren't living that way. You are going to die. You know that. You just don't know when. Every single thing will be taken from you. You will leave behind your possessions, your loved ones, and all your hopes and dreams for this life. You'll be taken right where you are. You'll no longer be able to fill the roles you were busy playing. Death changes everything in a flash. That's the reality of the situation. If all these things can be changed in an instant, then maybe they aren't so real after all. Maybe you'd better check out who you are. maybe you should look deeper. The beauty of embracing deep truths is that you don't have to change your life. You just change how you live your life. It's not what you're doing, it's how much of you is doing it. Let's take a very simple example. You've walked outside thousands of times, but how many times have you really appreciated it? Imagine a person in a hospital bed who just has been told they've got a week to live. They look up at the doctor and say, "Can I walk outside? Can I look at the sky just one more time?" If it were raining outside, they would want to feel the rain just once more. For them, that would be the most precious thing. But you don't want to feel the rain. You run and cover up. What is it that won't let us live our lives? What is inside of us that is so afraid that it keeps us from enjoying life? This part of us is so busy trying to make sure the next thing goes right that we can't just be here now and live life. All the while, death is watching our footsteps. Don't you want to live before death comes? You're probably not going to get a warning. Very few people are told when they're going to die. Almost everybody just takes a breath and doesn't know they didn't take another one. So start using every day to let go of that sacred part of you that won't let you live life fully. Since you know you're going to die, be willing to say what needs to be said and do what needs to be done. Be willing to be fully present without being afraid of what will happen in the next moment. That's how people live when they face death. You get to do that, too, because you are facing death every moment. Learn to live as though you are facing death at all times, and you'll become bolder and more open. If you live life fully, you won't have any last wishes. You will have lived them every moment. Only then will you have fully experienced and released the part of you that is afraid of living. There is no reason to be afraid of life, and the fear will fade once you understand that the only thing there is to get from life is the growth that comes from experiencing it. Life itself is your career, and your interaction with life is your most meaningful relationship. Everything else you're doing is just focusing on a tiny subset of life in the attempt to give life some meaning. What actually gives life meaning is the willingness to live it. It isn't any particular event. It's the willingness to experience events. What if you knew that the next person you'd see would be the last person you would ever see? You'd be right there soaking it in, experiencing it. It wouldn't matter what they're saying. You'd just enjoy hearing the words because it would be the last conversation you'd ever have. What if you brought that kind of awareness to every conversation? That's what happens when you're told that death is around the corner. You change. Life doesn't change. The true seeker commits to live life like that every moment, and lets nothing stop them. Why should anything stop you? You're just going to die anyway. If you challenge yourself to live as though it were your last week, your mind may come up with all kinds of suppressed desires. It may start talking about all the things that you've always wanted to do, and you may think that you had better go do them. You will soon see that that's not the answer. You have to understand that that is your attempt to get special experiences from life that makes you miss the actual experience of life. Life is not something you get. It's something you experience. Life exists with or without you. It has been going on for billions of years. You simply get the honor of seeing a tiny slice of it. If you're busy trying to get something, you will miss the slice you're actually experiencing. Every one of life experiences is different, and every experience is worth having. Life is not something you waste. It's truly precious. That's why death is such a great teacher. It is death that makes life precious. Look how precious life becomes when you imagine you only have a week left to live. How precious would life be if there was no such thing as death? You'd waste every second of it because you'd figured you'd always have it. It is scarcity that makes things precious. It is scarcity that makes a simple rock become a rare gem. So death actually gives meaning to life. Death is your friend. Death is your liberator. For God's sake, don't be afraid of death. Try to learn what it's saying to you. The highest way to learn is to take each moment of your life and realize that what matters is to live it fully. If you live each moment completely, you will have a fuller life and you will not have to fear death. You fear death because you crave life. You fear death because you think there's something to get that you haven't experienced yet. Many people feel that death will take something away from them. The wise person realizes that death is constantly giving them something. Death is giving meaning to your life. You're the one who throws your life away. You waste every second of it. You get in the car and drive from here to there, and you don't see anything. You're not even there. You're busy thinking about what you're going to do next. You're a month ahead of yourself or even a year. You're not giving life, you're living mine. So it is you who throws your life away, not death. Death actually helps you get your life back by making you pay attention to the moment. It makes you say, my God, I'm going to lose this. I'm going to lose my children. This could be the last time I'll ever see them again. From now on, I'm going to pay more attention to them and to my spouse and to all my friends and loved ones. I want to get so much more out of life. And I think that concludes the reading. I actually think I read a little bit over where I was supposed to stop there, so I'll let go of the mic. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Gloria. Yeah, you went one paragraph over, but I'm grateful you did. And as soon as you started reading one more, I thought, oh, there must be something in this one more paragraph. And there was. What was in the one more paragraph was that you're not living life, you're living mind. You're lost in mind. You know, you get in a car and you drive somewhere and you don't even see the scenery as you pass it. You know, that was a beautiful extra paragraph. So thank you so much. When I was reading this earlier this week, this chapter, and of course I've read this chapter before, but I always pick up The Untethered Soul and go through it again. It's just one of those books that it's always helpful to revisit. So as I was reading this chapter again this week, the very, very, very first thought that came to me was Lenny Rose. And I know that many of you know Lenny Rose. Lenny taught in this room for years upon years upon years. I have no idea how long he taught in this room. But one thing that was a little funny about Lenny when he taught in this room is that he was kind of argumentative. And sometimes he would even argue with things that weren't there. You know, somebody could type in something like, the body is but a kingdom of interacting life forms, but all kingdoms shall topple. While he would be, you know, maybe talking about what we're talking about. And somehow his mind would interpret that as an attack. You know, and he might say something like, you know, well, you don't agree with me and, you know, you should just be quiet because I'm the teacher now and you're not the teacher now. And, you know, everybody who knows Lenny knows how he was. It seems like he was always, you know, seeing people writing on the board. Even when I perceived them as agreeing with him, he perceived them as not. And in fact, I had to talk to Lenny a couple times and ask him, you know, not to be quite so harsh to everyone in the room. But the reason I say that is because I want to tell you how he changed when the doctor told him he had 2 weeks to live. That's what happened. He had stomach cancer, And by the time that stomach cancer was diagnosed, he was told he had 2 weeks to live. As it turned out, it was only about 2 days. But he had intellectual knowledge that it was going to be 2 weeks. And all of that argumentative stuff dropped away. Every single grievance that he had held on to for years and years and years, and we'd watched him carry in this room, it fell completely off. It just vanished in an instant, which really proves that none of it was real. It was just a game that the Lenny mind was playing, right? Because when it came right down to it, all of these people, some of them he'd had grievances against for years upon years, he didn't anymore. He loved them. And all he wanted to do was have one last conversation with everyone he could think of. You know, I'm someone who, you know, Lenny and I didn't have a lot of conversations. In fact, the only time we ever had conversations is when I had to talk to him again and say, you know, Lenny, you're a little harsh. You know, these are our Awakening Together core values. You know, you need to not be quite so harsh with the people in the room. You know, that's the only thing Lenny and I ever talked about. But in his last week, he wanted to talk to me. And we sat and we had this wonderful conversation on the phone for about an hour. And the only reason we hung up is because he had to come into the room and he wanted to come into the room and talk. And so I followed him into the room and listened to him talk here. And everything out of his mouth was love. Everything typed on the board he interpreted as love. And there was one sentence Lenny said that day that I have never, ever, ever forgotten. And I shall never forget. And remember, Lenny thought he had 2 weeks to live. In truth, he died the next day. But he thought he had 2 weeks to live. And what Lenny said with that knowledge was, there is only time for love now. There is only time for love now. You see, that's what this reading that Gloria has just read is talking about. When Lenny thought he had forever, yeah, in that way that we all think that we have forever, he came into the room and argued with everyone all of the time and maybe didn't even notice how much he loved some people. He did. He noticed he loved them when he was told he had 2 weeks left to go to live. Then he noticed just how much he loved every one of those people. But he didn't notice when he thought he had forever. And that's just how we all are. We don't notice things when we think that we're going to be this body personality forever. We don't notice how much we love even our loved ones. We don't notice how much we love the tree outside in the front yard or the backyard. We don't notice how much we love the moth that's flapping by us right now. And in fact, a lot of these things, just like Lenny thought that a lot of us were annoyances when he was teaching, a lot of these things we think are annoyances. Our life is an annoyance. It's a burden. It's something I have to put up with. I got very, very lucky because since Thursday, when I picked out this reading for today, since Thursday, I have been contemplating this reading. And the reason I say I got very, very lucky is, you know, if you were to look at it with the wrong mind, you'd say life has not been perfect for me since Thursday. For example, every year as a 501c3, there's a little document that I need to fill out. Well, I say little document. It's about 8 pages long. It's called the Form 990EZ, and it usually takes me about a week to fill it out. It's really it's for the IRS. It's quite challenging. Well, this year, thanks to your donations and also to our retreats, we brought in enough money before expenses. We brought in enough money that we can no longer fill out the 8-page Form 990EZ. Now we have to fill out the Form 990, which is, oh my God, pages upon pages upon pages. So I started filling that out on Thursday. And it's not easy, and things aren't balancing the way they should. And I haven't yet found the errors that I need to find in the accounting in order to make it balance. And you know, if I was not contemplating death, I could be very annoyed. I could be very stressed. I could be short with my family when they want to go out and eat. Like, I don't have time to go out and eat. I've got to fill out this form, and I can't get it to balance. I'm going out of town next week, and I don't have much time. All of that could be there, but it's not. It hasn't been there at all. And I think one reason it hasn't been there is because I've been contemplating death. Now, it's funny because when you first contemplate death, the ego contemplates it. At least that was my experience. I shouldn't say you. I should say I. When you first ask, well, what if I knew that this was my last weekend? You know, what if I knew I was going to die on Monday? Well, then the ego jumps up and says, well, then throw out the Form 990. You don't have to do that. Go out and play. But if you sit and look a little longer, you actually find out that's the ego. The heart has a different answer. The heart fills out the Form 990, but it fills it out differently. It actually begins to enjoy the adventure of trying to make all of the numbers match up and putting all of the numbers in the right categories and you know, getting everything to sync. Like somehow, I don't know how, I can't explain it because I am definitely not a person who likes accounting or filling out forms. But somehow, it becomes a little bit fun, a little bit special. You know, like every experience is a little bit special. When the heart contemplates death, at least this was my experience, when the heart contemplates death, it doesn't contemplate death as if it is certain. You know, like maybe if I knew for a fact that Regina Don Akers was going to end on Monday, maybe I wouldn't fill out the Form 990. However, I would probably take the time to send it to Raina and explain what's going on so she could finish. I would care enough that she'd be able to finish it when I'm gone. I wouldn't want to leave her stuck. But maybe I wouldn't spend my weekend doing it if I knew for a fact I was going to go on Monday. But the heart doesn't look into the future in that way. The heart only looks at this moment. And the heart kind of contemplates death more in this way. The heart's contemplation of death is more like, maybe I will be here and maybe I won't. With both of those possibilities, how do I want to live this moment? That's more the way the heart contemplates it. Maybe I will be here and maybe I won't. Now, how do I want to live this moment? Well, if I am maybe going to be here, you know, for the rest of this year, well, then the 990 needs to be done well, or there would be consequences that I don't want to deal with, right? So I'm not going to throw the 990 out the window and go out and play if I might still be here. But at the same time, if maybe I'm not going to be here, I don't want to waste this moment being frustrated or annoyed or distracted. If filling out this Form 990 is the last thing I'm ever going to do, I have almost a romantic relationship with this Form 990. I mean, it literally becomes my lover, you know, because life is my lover. Life is my beloved. And this is what's happening with life for me right now, is the Form 990. It literally changes everything if you contemplate death deeply. In fact, what I found when I contemplated death deeply was I found that there were really two things, only two things I wanted. If the possibility is that I may die at the end of this weekend, which, by the way, is a possibility. That's what he's explaining. It's a possibility. I might not even make it through the weekend. Remember the yogi with the sword hanging over his head from a spider web? I mean, it could happen at any time. What I found when I contemplated that is there are only two things I want. One is I want to be fully in this moment. I want to be fully present. I want to make love to this moment of life. And two, I want to contemplate my truth. I want to contemplate what I am beyond Regina, beyond this body, beyond this personality, beyond this mind. I want to contemplate that which I am that will continue to exist when Regina dies. Now, many of you know that I've had some interesting mystical experiences, one of which is the mystical experience of having been an apple. I had the experience of being an apple, which I won't tell that story, but it's very, very different from being human. And with just those two things to compare, what it's like being an apple, which, by the way, was wonderful and pure love and joy. I didn't find anything else in being an apple. But if I contemplate what it's like to be an apple and what it's like to be a human, realizing that I am neither. I am life itself, and I could be anything. I could be a rock. I could be the wind. I could be a piece of grass. I could be a dog. I could be this pen, this table. When I contemplate that I can experience myself as anything because I am life and I am everything, what I come to discover, I could be the Form 990, Kathy says. What I come to discover is that being human for this little bit of time is really special. Like, everything about being human is really special. In fact, another thing that's been going on with me this weekend, it didn't actually start until this morning. Jasmine caught a cold earlier in the week and didn't feel very well. Yesterday, Ron was really not feeling well. He appeared to catch Jasmine's cold. This morning, I woke up with a little scratch in my throat and a little itch in my eye. Now, I know many of you all know that when a cold seems to be going on, there's all kinds of ways to react to that. And one of those is, oh, geez, I don't have time for this, especially since I'm filling out a Form 990 and I've got all this other stuff to do and I leave for New York on Thursday. I don't have time for this, right? That's one way to react to it. But what I found this morning is there's another way to react to it. And that's what I'm going to call being with the tickle in the throat. Being with the itch in the eye, noticing the experience of a human, maybe getting a cold when I am not a human. This is just a temporary joy. This experience of being human is just a temporary joy. And you know, apples don't get colds. Rocks don't get colds. Form 990s don't get colds. I don't even know for sure that a dog, in the way that a human does, gets a cold. This is a human experience. This is something we get to experience as we experience ourselves as human. And that just changed completely how I looked at it. In fact, I see Barb wrote in the room acceptance. I would say it was even beyond that. It was truly embracing. You see, if we really contemplate death in the way Michael Singer is recommending, every single moment is holy, sacred, precious, miraculous. You see, we think of ourselves as human, and we know intellectually that humans die. But yet we think of ourselves as human and we don't think about that death, so we think we're always going to be here and we just take everything for granted at best. And some things we downright don't like. They're a burden. This shouldn't be happening to me. I shouldn't be this busy. I shouldn't have a cold. I shouldn't have to do this much. Life is such a burden. Oh my God, I think that's the biggest lie we tell ourselves. Life is a burden? No, 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 no. Life is a gift. Life is what God is. Life. Do you realize the word love and the word life are synonymous? You know, we think of love as that romantic emotion or that parental emotion. That's not what love is. Love and life are synonymous. And when we embrace and appreciate life, no matter what it is, a cold, a Form 990, a dog who's impatient with me right now because I won't quit talking and get up and let her out the door. when we appreciate just whatever is with that presence that knows this is very temporary, very impermanent, but it's my gift now to enjoy, that's love. That's love. And you see, there's no specialness in love. We've heard this over and over again. There's no specialness in love. I don't love today because it's sunny and gorgeous and exactly the temperature I like it, and I don't have anything to do so I can go out and play. That's not the reason I love today. I love today because it's here and I get to enjoy it, period. Regardless. That's joy. That's love. That's embracing. That's the happy dream. So I encourage you to contemplate death. It sounds a little morbid sometimes the first time we hear it. I know it did to me. But if you contemplate death, you might find that it brings life alive. And you'll realize that you have been dead. You've been the walking dead. And now that you're contemplating death, you are resurrected. Yeah, so contemplating death is really contemplating life. It's not wasting it. It's pure appreciation for what is here now. Pure appreciation for this experience of being human. Because again, we are not human. Just like my experience of an apple was very temporary and fleeting, our experience as a human is also temporary and fleeting. And what a gift. And so with that said, I'm going to go into our next song. And I'll be right with you, Jamie. This song, while you contemplate today's teaching by Omkara, is called Remember. And also, if you'd like to, you can make a donation to Awakening Together. Barb will give you that link. Lovely. And I enjoyed reading what some of you were writing in the room as we were contemplating. Let me go back and read some of that. Maybe life and death are the same, no opposites, just oneness. Matter transforms into another pattern. Such is the movement of intercolliding molecules. All an eternal dance, a dream made of love. This life is beautiful, this life is horrible, this life is wonderful, and this life is just a dream made of love. Remember who you are, remember who you are. Like dancing in the rain and playing in the puddles. Not just vibrating, but also spiraling. You know, and it's like I said, when I contemplate death, there's only two things I want. Two. I could sit here if I wanted to imagine that I was going to live forever as Regina. I can come up with a very long bucket list of things I want to do as Regina. But when I contemplate death, there's only two things I want. One is to be fully present and here, loving this moment, whatever it is, just right now. And the other is to contemplate who I really am. That's the only two things. Everything else falls right out of the window. It just falls off, just like it did with Lenny. So now is that time in our weekly gathering when we share based on today's reading, teaching, and contemplation. So who has something they would like to say? All right, the mic is, gosh, I know your name, but I'm blanking out, so please remind me, and the mic is yours.
Virginia.
Roy.
Very powerful teaching. I was sitting on the front porch almost in tears of joy of an acceptance of the moment. So I can't say any more than that. Just thank you very, very much. Aloha.
Yeah, thank you, Roy. And you know what? There's tears in my eyes, too. But like I said, I got lucky. I got lucky because it came to me to ask Gloria to share this reading. And then because it came to me to ask Gloria to share this reading on Thursday, I've spent since Thursday contemplating it. And so just everything that has been happening. And, you know, I mentioned the oncoming cold this morning. I mentioned the Form 990. Jasmine also, although she might be embarrassed if she knew I was sharing this, she tossed her calculus book yesterday, which is a very big, heavy calculus book, and it landed on her glasses, and she broke her glasses. So one thing that needed to happen is we needed to get up and drive to Colorado Springs and go get the glasses repaired. You know, again, if I wasn't contemplating death, especially since I'm trying to get this 990 done, having to take 3 hours out to go up to Colorado Springs to fix some glasses could have been annoying. You know, it could have been annoying, but it wasn't. It wasn't because I was contemplating death. The entire experience, nothing has been annoying, nothing has been frustrating, nothing has been unloved. The teachings of Inner Ramana says that the purpose of this experience of manifestation in a world, the purpose of this was joy. And when we have both the realization, I am life, and the realization, I am not human, and the realization that human is a very temporary experience, and you put them all together, what we end up is with that joy that Ramana spoke about. Again, it doesn't matter what's happening. I mean, people don't judge, minds don't judge Form 990s as good, especially Form 990s that won't balance. People don't judge broken glasses as good, especially when you got to drive more than an hour away to get them repaired and you don't know how much it's going to cost and you don't have much money and you got college coming, and people don't judge oncoming colds as good, especially when you're so busy, you got so much to do, you're going out of town in a few days. You know, minds don't judge any of that as good. Minds judge all of that as a pain in the butt. But when you're not in the mind, when you drop into this preciousness of the experience of human, this preciousness of life, this realization of what I really am, and yet this is all here now, you know, and it's only for now. Somebody wrote earlier, it might have been Roy, somebody wrote earlier that, you know, maybe life and death are one. Well, absolutely they are. You know, right now I'm living the Form 990, but at some point I won't be. You know, that experience will die. Right now I'm living maybe the oncoming of a cold, but at some point I won't be. That experience will die. Already the experience of Jasmine's broken glasses and needing to get them fixed has died. You know, every moment is dying, every moment. It's only here right now. It's only now that I have the opportunity to embrace it and love it, or miss it because I'm in my mind, or hate it because my mind judges it as bad. And if you ask yourself, how do you want to experience it? I mean, especially if you ask that with the heart, you know the answer. You want to love it no matter what it is. I mean, we all know that. That's our nature. Love and joy are our nature. Love, joy, gratitude. Some of you have also heard the story about when I had the experience of being on the cross. This was a vision, but I was on the cross, you know, maybe as Jesus. And I looked out and I saw the soldiers casting lots for my clothes. I saw the, you know, a few people who were there who loved and honored me, who were crying and were sad. I saw many other people who were angry and ridiculing me and tossing rocks at me. And the only thing I knew, however, because this was a very enlightened moment, the only thing I knew was something that when I told this story to you, I could only describe it. I had to make up a word. I could only describe it as one thing. And the word that I made up for you was love, gratitude, joy. But it has to be one word. It can't be three things. I wasn't experiencing three things. I was experiencing one overwhelming knowledge experience. And that one overwhelming knowledge experience that I experienced as Jesus on the cross was love, gratitude, joy. And you know, if we contemplate death in the way Michael Singer is asking us to, that's what gets brought to every moment. And you know why that gets brought to every moment? Because that's what's natural for us. That's our natural experience when we don't think we're a person, when we don't think we have forever, when we aren't judging the circumstance, when we're just being here now. Love, gratitude, joy is our only experience, no matter what's happening. No matter whether it's health or illness, no matter whether the person in front of us is happy with us or annoyed with us, no matter whether the rain is out there or the sun is shining, love, gratitude, joy. It gets down to only that. All right, so I want to thank all of you all for coming and joining with me today on this weekly gathering. Again, I know maybe a few more people are in the room than at the beginning, so I want to announce again that we will not have a live weekly gathering next week because so many of our ministers are going to be at the CMC conference. However, I would love to have someone who would come during our gathering time and play a recorded gathering from a previous time. We have 2 years of recorded gatherings that could be played. You would be able to pick the one you want to play and record and play in the room. It's already recorded. You just play the recording in the room. If someone is interested in doing that, please email me, and I would be thrilled. It would be a great service to everyone because I'm sure there are people who are not going to the conference who would love to come and listen. But we will have our Awakening Together satsang next Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And Nikki will be the one interviewing, and the person she is interviewing is a disciple of Amma, the Hugging Saint, and lives with Amma. Also, watch tomorrow morning's Awakening Together update for information about how to take the True Discernment class, which is starting this coming Saturday. And that's a beloved course. Many people have taken it and loved it, and we only offer it twice a year at most. Sometimes maybe even once a year. With all of that said, I am going to play my closing song. And this is by a group called One by One. It's W-O-N by O-N-E, One by One. And the name of the song is Why Walk When You Can Fly.
In this world, there's a whole lot of trouble. In this world, there's a whole lot of pain. In this world, there's a whole lot of trouble, but a whole lot of ground to gain. Why take when you could be given? Why watch as the world goes by? It's a hard enough life to be living. Why walk when you can fly?
Why walk when you can fly? Why walk when you can fly? Why walk when you can fly? Oh, why?
In this world there's a whole lot of sorrow. In this world there's a whole lot of shame. In this world there's a whole lot of sorrow, but a whole lot of ground to pain. When you spend your whole life wishing, watching and wondering why. It's a long enough life to be living. Why walk when you can fly? Why walk when you can fly? In this world, there's a whole lot of pain. In this world, you've a soul for a compass and a heart for a pair of wings. Now there's a star on the far horizon. mountain, rising bright in an azure sky. But for the rest of the time that you're given,
why walk when you can fly? Why walk when you can fly?
When I die, hallelujah, by and by,
why walk when you can fly?
There we go. Lovely song. And dances, I see you'd like to volunteer, but you can't commit. And yeah, I'll wait for someone to email me and commit an email. I'm sure someone will. It would be appreciated by anyone who isn't going to the conference and would like to have a gathering. So thank you, everyone. Have a happy, happy week. And I will be giving some of you all real hugs next week, I guess, in New York. So virtual hug to those I won't see, and I look forward to the real hug for those that I will see. Goodbye, everyone.